Today, as Black History Month comes to a close, we want to explore a chapter of U.S. history that is often overlooked. It's about the escape of enslaved people from the American South to Mexico. Now, most of us are familiar with the Underground Railroad, the network of people who helped those fleeing slavery to escape north. Harriet Tubman played a key role in that effort, of course. And today, the federal government is once again making plans to put her portrait on the front of the $20 bill. But there was also a southbound route to freedom. Thousands of enslaved people fled plantations to make their way to the Rio Grande, which was for them a river of deliverance. NPR's John Burnett has our story.
As part of a federal project to document slave life in America, a former enslaved man named Felix Haywood was interviewed in 1937. He was 92 at the time, blind, white-haired, and weather-beaten. Mr. Haywood was born into slavery. As a young man, he tended cattle and sheep for ranchers around San Antonio, Texas. This is what he recollected about the notion of escaping. His words are read here by an actor.
Sometimes someone would come along and try to get us to run up north and be free. There was no reason to run up north. All we had to do was to walk, but walk south. And we'd be free as soon as we crossed the Rio Grande.
Felix Haywood never escaped, but he knew slaves who did.
In Mexico, you could be free. They didn't care what color you was, black, white, yellow, or blue. Hundreds of slaves did go to Mexico, and got on all right.
From the 1830s up to emancipation, an estimated 3,000 to 5,000 enslaved people fled south and crossed over to free Mexican soil. That's far fewer than the estimated 30,000 to 100,000 enslaved persons who crossed the Mason-Dixon line to reach free northern states in Canada. The saga of the other Underground Railroad isn't nearly as celebrated, but it should be. Enslaved sailors and stowaways from New Orleans and Galveston jumped ship in Mexican ports. Slaves drove wagons of cotton to market in Brownsville and then slipped across the muddy river to Matamoros, Mexico. But their main mode of transportation was horseback, traversing the vast feral stretches of South Texas down to the border. The midday sun is brilliant here in this forgotten cemetery on the edge of Texas in the Rio Grande Delta.
Well, let's go sit in the shade over here on this bench over by the fence.
Roseanne Bacha Garza, a borderlands historian at the University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, is one of the few experts on the southern route to freedom.
We call it the Underground Railroad that traveled through South Texas and into Mexico, but we didn't have a conductor like a Harriet Tubman, and we didn't have a certain station like they did in Philadelphia, where they could live and make some money and do whatever. But what we did have down here were pathways that people could follow to get to the Rio Grande.
We came to this graveyard because here lie the remains of John Ferdinand Weber and his wife, Sylvia Hector. They were an interracial couple that quietly helped black people escape the southwestern extreme of the slave South. Weber was a white settler new to Texas who fell in love with Hector, an enslaved woman. They had three children, and he bought their freedom. They homesteaded in the hamlet that now bears his name, Weberville, east of Austin. But Texas was still a slave state, and the suffocating racial codes of antebellum Texas eventually drove the family away to the borderlands, where they bought a ranch. The Webers, along with another interracial abolitionist family here on the river, the Jacksons, were well known in the clandestine grapevine of runaways.
They knew they were sympathetic to their cause. The families had their own licensed ferry landings on their properties, which made it very easy for them to shepherd these runaway slaves across the river into free Mexico.
I'm very proud to be a Weber.
Another woman, Olga Weber Vasquez, 70, with curly white hair, joined us in the cemetery. We're viewing the white marble gravestone of her great-great-grandfather, John Weber.
I don't know why there wasn't anything that we would have known as we were growing up. It amazes me to learn from her, you know, the underground deal. I had no idea at all.
The breakneck flight from an East Texas cotton plantation to the border was a perilous journey. They had to survive the Nueces Strip, the 160-mile expanse between the Nueces River and the Rio Grande. It's the same harsh ranch land where today immigration agents find the scattered bones of unauthorized migrants who perished on the trek north. Again, Roseanne Bacha Garza.
It's a dry, parched landscape. There's not many trees. Like, No matter what time of year it is, it's hot, hot, hot. There are no running rivers. There are no running streams, snakes, scorpions, you know. It was not an easy trip, but it was a doable trip.
Back then, the borderlands were different from the rest of slaveholding Texas. A white man, his black wife, and their children would not draw attention or be ostracized, says Francisco Guajardo at the Museum of South Texas History in Edinburgh, where he's CEO.
Along the river, you don't see the deeply ingrained racism because the river has been home to a mixture of people. People who have been mestizos, people who have been, you know, mulattos. The river is a place of tolerance, believe it or not. The racial codes were not enforced down here because there was nobody to enforce them.
Most fugitive slaves in Texas did run south. We know this in part because of the painstaking work done through the Texas Runaway Slave Project.
The project has gone through almost 19,000 Texas newspapers from the 1840s through the 1860s looking for runaway slaves. And it's from this research that we've been able to find so much about runaway slaves escaping to Mexico.
Kyle Ainsworth directs the project, housed at Stephen F. Austin University in Nacogdoches, Texas. He reads from a notice in the Galveston Weekly News from 1858.
$25 reward. Ran away on the 19th of April from W.T. Stevens Plantation, a mulatto boy named Tom, about 28 years old, 5 feet 8 inches high, heavy built, with deep set eyes and heavy eyebrows. Was raised in Milam County, Texas, and he is supposed to be there or on his way to Mexico.
John, can I just jump in here for a minute?
Sure, Michelle.
So I'd like to take a step back for a minute. Now, we're in a moment when the U.S. is addressing, or maybe being forced to address, some longstanding racial issues. And we've been talking a lot about how we view race and history. Does the Southbound Underground Railroad fit into that?
You know, this is history that certainly doesn't get as much attention as the Northbound Underground Railroad. But fortunately, there's been a burst of scholarship. A number of historians and researchers are expanding our knowledge about the important role Mexico played in providing a refuge for enslaved people. Alice Baumgartner is at the forefront of that effort. She's a professor of history at the University of Southern California, who's written a groundbreaking new book. It's called South to Freedom, Runaway Slaves to Mexico and the Road to the Civil War. And Baumgartner makes the case that Mexico's anti-slavery laws exerted this gravitational pull on enslaved people in Texas, Louisiana, and even Mississippi, just as King Cotton was expanding.
And this history is, to me, most surprising because it shows us the side of Mexico as a place that actually was contributing to global debates about slavery and freedom in the 19th century.
So I think I'm going to need a little bit more of a history lesson here, John. So walk us through what was happening at that time.
Okay. So Mexico first attempts to outlaw slavery in 1829, decades before the U.S. abolishes it. Texas wins its independence from Mexico, then legalizes slavery, and eventually joins the U.S. as a slave state. Mexico loses again in the U.S.-Mexican War, and the Rio Grande becomes the southern boundary of the U.S. But through all of this, though Mexico has lost huge expanses of its territory, Baumgartner says its anti-slavery position gives it a sort of moral capital.
Mexico was much less powerful than the United States, but anti-slavery gave it a way to find victory in defeat. The United States being this aggressive, slaveholding, conquering nation, and Mexico as this country that could actually stand upright before the civilized world for its anti-slavery positions.
But John, it's my understanding that Mexico at one point did allow slavery or something that looked a lot like it.
Yeah, that's right. Mexico had its own system of forced labor. Even after it abolished slavery, hacienda owners depended on debt peonage to keep their workers in bondage, and some considered that a form of slavery. But many Mexicans were sympathetic to fugitive slaves from the U.S. This from Maria Hammock. She's a doctoral candidate at the University of Texas here in Austin who grew up in Mexico. She's writing her dissertation on the Weber family and their role in the Southbound Underground Railroad. Hammock says Mexicans would often put up a fight against vigilantes and bounty hunters from Texas who were looking for escaped slaves in Mexico.
Mexican authorities at times would help the now free men and women in Mexico from being taken and returned back to the United States.
And inside Texas, Mexican laborers would befriend slaves and act as guides to help them escape south. That became so common that enslavers came to distrust any Mexican they saw.
Under Texas law, Mexicans and enslaved persons were not allowed to be found together or to collaborate or even speak to each other.
You know, now, John, as we've said, you know, many people in the U.S. are struggling with how to think about this period of history. And there have actually been some fairly contentious fights about history, as we and others have reported. What about in Mexico?
Well, Maria Hammack, for one, says this was all new to her. She grew up in Los Mochis in the state of Sinaloa, and she says they were never taught about the outsized role that Mexico played in Texas slavery.
As a Mexican, I grew up not knowing these histories. I did not know that Mexico was a safe haven for individuals to find freedom in the 19th century.
Well, John, you're a native Texan. Did you learn this?
I went to grade school in Dallas a long time ago, Michelle, and they scarcely mentioned slavery in any context back then. It really wasn't until a couple of years ago that Texas changed the way students learn about the Civil War. They're now taught that slavery did play a central role, but slavery was also a driving force of the Texas Revolution, and that's still downplayed. You know, on Tuesday, we celebrate Texas Independence Day down here, and we rarely focus on the fact that Texans wanted to keep their slaves, and that's one of the main reasons we declared our independence from Mexico 185 years ago. In fact, Michelle, some enslaved persons saw Mexican troops as their liberators. After the final Battle of San Jacinto near present-day Houston, Texas slaves fled to the ranks of the retreating Mexican army, hoping to make it to free Mexico. I wanted to find out what students and teachers make of this, and that's where the final part of the story takes us.
Okay, let's hear it.
I came out to the Texas African American History Memorial on the lawn of the pink granite state capitol here in Austin, and I invited Elaine Hudson, a history professor at Houston Tillotson University, a historically black college in town. While she knew Mexico had outlawed slavery before the U.S. did, the rest was new to her.
I think that the Southern Route of the Underground Railroad should be taught in the curriculum of schools, especially in the Texas curriculum.
Hudson says this new material fits into a theme she always emphasizes with her students, that African Americans throughout history have been architects of their own liberation, like the former slave-turned-abolitionist Sylvia Weber.
African Americans during slavery, after slavery, during Reconstruction, during Jim Crow, and after Jim Crow, and some would say into the new Jim Crow, have always tried to decide as much about our fates as possible. And so it was nice to see that African Americans in Texas, they had the opportunity to help people get away to Mexico. And so Sylvia and her family were doing that here in Texas.
Elaine Hudson was so taken with this history that she incorporated it into her African American studies class at Houston Tillotson this year. I sat in on a recent Zoom class. Here's Deja Mills, a 21-year-old history major from San Antonio, followed by Duntavian Thomas, a 24-year-old kinesiology major from East Texas.
It was just interesting because I never heard about them going to Mexico. Yeah, I think it should be taught.
And the thing that really caught my eye was that African Americans were going to another country and actually treated better. You know, we had freedoms in Mexico that we didn't have in the United States. No, soon as African Americans touched down on Mexican soil, we was free.
John Burnett, NPR News, Austin.